Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're on day number, drum roll, 39, and I'm about to sneeze. It's great. Go live and then sneeze. Hold on. Sneeze coming. Can I get a God bless you in the chat? Thank you very much. We're on day number. What a way to start the stream. Day number 39 of our Bible in 90 days. What are we doing, guys? We are reading through the entire Bible in 90 days. I forgot what I was going to say. Every day at 2 p.m. we are live, which is why I don't know what I'm talking about half the time because I've just lost it. We're on 39 live straight. And here we go. Tonight's going to be powerful. We have a podcast at 6 o'clock with Steve King. Amazing testimony. It's insane. You just got to come tonight, 6 o'clock, back on the channel in a few hours. We will be doing that testimony. All right, so here we go. Job, chapter 25, and we're almost finishing the entire book of Job today. So here we go. This is Job's conversation with his friends, and we are starting on chapter 25, verse 1. Then Bildad, good old Bildad. Then Bildad the Shuhite replied, God is powerful and dreadful. He enforces peace in the heavens. Who is able to count his heavenly army? Doesn't his light shine on all of the earth? How can a mortal be innocent before God? Can anyone born of a woman be pure? God is more glorious than the moon. He shines brighter than the stars. In comparison, people are maggots. We are mortals, mere worms. Maggots? Okay. All right. I hear you, Bildad. Chapter 26. Well, that was the quickest chapter ever. I blinked and the chapter's over. Chapter 26, Job's ninth speech. You guys thought you had a lot of speeches in speech class in college. Job's ninth speech, a response to Bildad. Then Job spoke again. How you have helped the powerless, how you have saved the weak, how you have enlightened my stupidity, what wise advice you have all offered. Where have you gotten all of these wise sayings, whose spirit speaks through you? The dead tremble, those who live beneath the waters. The underworld is naked in God's presence. The place of destruction is uncovered. God stretches the northern sky over empty space and hangs the earth on nothing. He wraps the rain in his thick clouds, and the clouds don't burst with the weight. He covers the face of the moon, shrouding it with his clouds. He created the horizon when he separated the waters. He set the boundary between day and night. The foundations of heaven tremble. They shudder at his rebuke. By his power, the sea grew calm. By his skill, he crushed the great sea monster. His spirit made the heavens beautiful, and his power pierced the gliding serpent. These are just the beginning of all that he does. So creation is just the beginning. That's amazing. Merely a whisper of his power. So creation is a whisper of the power of God. Who then can comprehend the thunder of his power? Chapter 27. Job continued speaking. I vow by the living God who has taken away my rights, by the Almighty who has embittered my soul. As long as I live, while I have breath from God, my lips will speak no evil, and my tongue will speak no lies. I will never concede that you are right. I will defend my integrity until I die. I will maintain my innocence without wavering. My conscience is clear for as long as I live. They were trying to say Job's suffering was because of his sin, which we know was not true. May my enemy be punished like the wicked, my adversary like those who do evil. For what hope do the godless have when God cuts them off and takes away their life? Will God listen to their cry? When trouble comes upon them, can they take delight in the Almighty? Can they call to God at any time? I will teach you about God's power. I will not consult anything concerning the Almighty. But you have seen all this, yet you say all these useless things to me. This is what the wicked will receive from God. This is their inheritance from the Almighty. They may have many children, but the children will die in war and starve to death. Those who survive will die of a plague, and not even their widows will mourn them. Even evil people may have piles of money and may store away mounds of clothing, but the righteous will wear that clothing, and the innocent will divide that money. The wicked build houses as fragile as a spider's web, as flimsy as a shelter of branches. The wicked go to bed rich, but wake up to find their wealth is gone. Terror overwhelms them like a flood, and they're blown away in the storm of the night. The east wind carries them away, and they're gone. It sweeps them away. It whirls down on them without mercy. They struggle to flee from its power, but everyone jeers at them and mocks them. Chapter 28. People know where to mine silver and how to refine gold. They know where to dig iron from the earth and how to smelt copper from rock. They know how to shine light in the darkness and explore the farthest regions of the earth. They search in the dark for ore. They sink a mine shaft into the earth, far from where everyone lives. They descend on ropes, swinging back and forth. Food is grown on the earth above, but down below the earth is melted as by fire. So that's talking about hell. And it makes it clear it's down below the earth. So down below, the earth is melted by fire. Here the rocks contain precious lapis lazuli, and dust contains gold. These are treasures no bird of prey can see, no falcon's eye observe. No wild animal has walked up upon these treasures. No lion has ever set his paw there. People will know how to tear apart flinty rocks and overturn the roots of mountains. They cut tunnels in the rocks and uncover precious stones. They dam up the trickling streams and bring to light the hidden treasures. But do people know where to find wisdom, where they can find understanding? No one knows where to find it, for it is not found among the living. It is not here, says the ocean, nor is it here, says the sea. It cannot be bought with gold. It cannot be purchased. This is all straight poetry here. It cannot be purchased with silver. It's worth more than all the gold of Ophir, greater than the precious onyx or lapis lazuli. Wisdom is more valuable than gold and crystal. It cannot be purchased with jewels mounted in fine gold. Coral and jasper are worthless in trying to get it. The price of wisdom is far above rubies. Precious peridot from Ethiopia cannot exchange for it. It's worth more than the purest gold. But do people know where to find wisdom, where they can find understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all humanity. Even the sharp birds in the sky cannot discover it. Destruction and death say, "We've heard only rumors of where wisdom can be found." God alone understands the way to wisdom. He knows where it can be found. For he looks throughout the whole earth and sees everything under heavens. He decides how the wind should blow and how much rain should fall. He made the laws for the rain and laid out a path for the lightning. Then he saw wisdom and evaluated it. He set it in a place and examined it thoroughly. And this is what he says to all humanity. The fear of the Lord is true wisdom. Write that in your little notebook. To forsake evil is real understanding. Chapter 29. Job speaks of his former blessings. Job continued speaking. I long for the years gone by when God took care of me, when he lit up the way before me and I walked safely through darkness. When I was in my prime, God's friendship was felt in my home. The Almighty was still with me and my children were around me. This is so sad. My steps were awash in cream and the rocks gushed olive oil for me. Those were the days when I went to the city gate and took my place among the honored leaders. This is so sad. The young stepped aside when they saw me, and even the aged rose in respect at my coming. The princes stood in silence and put their hands over their mouths. The highest officials of the city stood quietly, holding their tongues in respect. All who heard me praised me. All who saw me spoke well of me, for I assisted the poor in their need and the orphans who required help. I helped those without hope, and they blessed me, and I caused a widow's heart to sing for joy. Everything I did was honest. Righteousness covered me like a robe, and I wore justice like a turban. I served as the eyes for the blind and the feet for the lame. I was a father to the poor and assisted strangers who needed help. I broke the jaws of godless oppressors and plucked their victims from their teeth. Okay. I thought, surely I will die surrounded by my family after a long good life. For I'm like a tree whose roots reach the water, whose branches are refreshed with dew. New honors are constantly bestowed on me, and my strength is constantly renewed. Everyone listened to my advice. They were silent as they waited for me to speak. And after I spoke, they had nothing to add, for my counsel satisfied them. They longed for me to speak as people long for rain. They drank my words like a refreshing spring rain. When they were discouraged, I smiled at them. My look of approval was precious to them. Like a chief, I told them what to do. I lived like a king among his troops and comforted those who mourned. Chapter 30. But now I'm mocked by people younger than I, by young men whose fathers are not worthy to run with my sheepdogs. A lot of good they are to me, these worn out wretches. They are gaunt from poverty and hunger. They claw the dry ground in desolate wastelands. They pluck wild greens from among the bushes and eat from the roots of broom trees. They're driven from human society, and people shout at them as though they were thieves. So now they live in frightening ravines, in caves among the rocks. They sound like animals howling among the bushes, huddled together beneath the nettles. They are nameless fools, outcasts from societies, and now they mock me with vulgar songs. They taunt me, they despise me, and won't come near me except to spit in my face. For God has cut my bowstring. Wow, that's heavy. Yeek. God has cut my bowstring. He has humbled me. So they have thrown off all restraint. These outcasts oppose me to my face. They send me sprawling and lay traps in my path. They block my road and do everything they can to destroy me. They know I have no one to help me. They come to me from all directions. They jump on me when I'm down. I live in terror now. My honor has blown away in the wind, and my prosperity has vanished like a cloud. And now my life seeps away. Depression haunts my days. At night, my bones are filled with pain, which gnaws at me relentlessly. With a strong hand, God grabs my shirt. He grips me by my collar of my coat. He's thrown me in the mud. I'm nothing more than dust and ashes. I cry to you, O God, but you don't answer. I stand before you, but you don't even look. You've become cruel towards me. You use your power to persecute me, and you throw me into the whirlwind. You destroy me in the storm, and I know you're sending me to my death, the destination of all who live. Surely no one would turn against the needy when they cry for help in their trouble. Did I not weep for those in trouble? Was I not deeply grieved for the needy? So I looked for good, but evil came instead. I waited for the light, but darkness fell. This is so easy to read compared to all those names in the other books. My heart is troubled and restless. Days of suffering torment me. I walk in gloom without sunlight. I stand in the public square and cry for help. Not quai. Cry. Come on, Isaiah, read better. Instead, I'm considered a brother to jackals and a companion to owls. My skin has turned dark and my bones burn with fever. My heart plays a sad music and my flute accompanies those who weep. Chapter 31. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman. Oh, that's powerful. Make a covenant with your eyes. For what God is above, For what has God above chosen for us? What is our inheritance from the Almighty on high? Isn't calamity for the wicked and misfortune for those who do evil? Doesn't he see everything I do and every step I take? Have I lied to anyone or deceived anyone? Let God weigh on me the scales of justice, for he knows my integrity. If I've strayed from this pathway or my heart has lusted for what my eyes have seen, if I'm guilty of any other sin, then let someone eat the crops I've planted. Let all that I've planted be uprooted. If my heart has been seduced by a woman, or if I've lusted for my neighbor's wife, then let my wife serve another man. Let the other men sleep with her. Okay, I wouldn't take it that far. For lust is a shameful sin, a crime that should be punished. It is a fire that burns all the way to hell. It would wipe out everything I own. Think about that. Lust is a fire that burns all the way to hell. If I've been unfair to my male or female servants when they brought their complaints to me, how could I face God? What could I say when he questioned me? For God created both me and my servants. He created us both in the womb. Have I refused to help the poor or crush the hopes of widows? Have I been stingy with my food and refused to share it with orphans? No, from my childhood, I've cared for orphans like a father. And I've cared for widows. Whenever I saw the homeless without clothes and the needy with nothing to wear, did they not praise me for providing wool clothing for them to keep warm? If I raised my hand against an orphan, knowing the judges would take my side, then let my shoulder be wrenched out of place. Let my arm be torn from its socket. That would be better than facing God's judgment. For if the majesty of God opposes me, what hope is there? Have I put my trust in money or felt secure because of my gold? Have I gloated about my wealth and all that I own? Have I looked at the sun shining in the skies or the moon walking down its silver pathway and been secretly enticed in my heart to throw kisses at them in worship? If so, should I be punished by judges, or for it would mean I have denied the God of heaven? Have I rejoiced when disaster struck my enemies or become excited when harm came their way? No, I've never sinned by cursing anyone or by asking anyone for revenge. My servants have never said, he let others go hungry. I've never turned away from a stranger, but have opened my doors to everyone. Have I tried to hide my sins like others do or conceal my guilt in my heart? Have I feared the crowd or the contempt of the masses so that I kept quiet and stayed indoors? If only someone would listen to me. Look, I will sign my name to my defense. Let the Almighty answer me. Let the accuser write out the charges against me. I would face the accusation proudly. I would wear it like a crown, for I would tell them exactly what I've done. I would come before them like a prince. If my land accuses me, and if all my furrows cry out against me, cry out together, for if I've stolen its crop or murdered its owners, then let thistles grow on the land instead of wheat and weeds instead of barley. Job's words are ended. So he's just trying to reconcile why this is all this bad stuff's happening to him. Chapter 32, Elihu responds to Job's friends. Job's three friends refused to reply further to him because he kept insisting on his innocence. Then Elihu, son of Barakel, the Buzite, of the clan of Ram, became angry. He was angry because Job refused to admit that he had sinned and that God was right in punishing him. He was also angry with Job's three friends, for they made God appear to be wrong by their inability to answer Job's arguments. Elihu had waited for the others to speak to Job because they were older than he. But when he saw that they had no further reply, he spoke out angrily, and Elihu, son of Barakel the Buzite, said, I am young and you are old, so I held back from telling you what I think. I thought that those who are older should speak, for wisdom comes with age. But there is a spirit within people, the breath of the Almighty, that makes them intelligent. Sometimes the elders are not wise. Sometimes the aged do not understand justice. So listen to me, and I'll tell you what I think. I've waited all this time, listening very carefully to your arguments, listening to your groat for words. I've listened, but not one of you has refuted Job or answered his arguments. And don't tell me who's too wise for us. Only God can convince him. If Job had been arguing with me, I would not answer with your kind of logic. You sit there baffled with nothing more to say. Should I continue to wait now that you're silent? Must I also remain silent? No, I'll say my piece, for I will speak my mind. I'm full of pent-up words, and the spirit within me urges me on. I'm like a cask of wine without a vent, like the new wineskin ready to burst. I must speak to find relief, so let me give my answers. I won't play favorites or try to flatter anyone, for if I tried flattery, my creator would destroy me. Chapter 33, Elihu presents his case against Job. Okay, so this is Elihu's case here. Listen to my words, Job. Pay attention to what I have to say. Now that I've begun to speak, let me continue. I speak with all sincerity. I speak the truth. For the Spirit of God has made me the breath of the Almighty and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Answer me if you can. Make your case and take your stand. Look, you and I both belong to God. I too was formed from clay. So you don't need to be afraid of me. I won't come down hard on you. You've spoken in my hearing that I've heard your very words. I said I'm pure, I'm without sin, I'm innocent, I have no guilt. God is picking a quarrel with me, and he considers me his enemy. He puts my feet in stocks and watches my every move. But you're wrong, and I'll show you why. For God is greater than any human being. So why are you bringing a charge against him? Why say he does not respond to people's complaints? For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams and visions of the night when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. He whispers in their ears and terrifies them with warnings. He makes them turn from doing wrong. He keeps them from pride. He protects them from the grave, from crossing over the river of death. Our God disciplines people with pain on their sickbeds, with ceaseless aching in their bones. They lose their appetite for even the most delicious food. Their flesh wastes away and their bones stick out. They are at death's door. The angels of death wait for them. But if an angel from heaven appears, a special messenger to intercede for a person and declare that person is upright, he'll be gracious and say, "Rescue him from the grave, for I found ransom for his life." Then this body will become healthy as a child's, firm and youthful again. When he prays to God, he'll be accepted, and God will receive him with joy and restore him to good standing. He will declare to his friends, "I sinned and twisted the truth, but it was not worth it. God rescued me from the grave, and now my life is filled with light." Yes, God does these things again and again for people. He rescues them from the grave so they may enjoy the light of life. Mark this well, Job. Listen to me, for I have more to say. But if you have anything to say, go ahead. Speak, for I'm anxious to see you justified. But if not, then listen to me. Keep silent, and I'll teach you wisdom. Chapter 34, Elihu accuses Job of arrogance. Then Elihu said, "Listen to me, you wise men. Pay attention, you who have knowledge." Job said, "The ear tests the word it hears, just as the mouth distinguishes between foods. So let us discern for ourselves what is right. Let us learn together what is good." For Job also said, "I'm innocent, but God has taken away my rights. I'm innocent, but they call me a liar. My suffering is incurable, though I have not sinned. Tell me, was there ever been a man like Job with his thirst for irreverent talk? He chooses evil people as companions. He spends his time with wicked men. He even said, 'Why waste time trying to please God?' Listen to me, you have understanding. Everyone knows that God doesn't sin. The Almighty can do no wrong. He repays people according to their deeds. He treats people as they deserve. Truly, God will not do wrong. The Almighty will not twist justice. Did someone else put the world in his care? Who set the world in place? If God were to take back his spirit and withdraw his breath, all life would cease and humanity would turn again to dust." Wow, that's powerful. "Now listen to me if you're wise. Pay attention to what I say. Could God govern if he hated justice? Are you going to condemn the Almighty Judge? For he says to kings, 'You're wicked,' and to nobles, 'You're unjust.' He doesn't care how great a person may be, and he pays no attention to the rich than to the poor. He made them all. In a moment they die. In the middle of the night they pass away. The mighty are removed without human hand. For God watches how people live. He sees everything they do. No darkness is thick enough to hide the wicked from his eyes." Man, this is convicting. "We don't set the time when we will come before God in judgment. He brings the mighty to ruin without asking anyone. Then he sets up others in their place. He knows what they do, and in the night he overturns and destroys them. He strikes them down because they're wicked, doing it openly for all to see. For they turned away from following him. They have no respect for any of his ways. They cause the poor to cry out, catching God's attention, and he hears the cry of the needy. But if he chooses to remain quiet, who can criticize him? When he hides his face, no one can find him, whether an individual or a nation. He prevents the godless from ruling, so they can't be a snare to the people. Why don't you people say to God, 'I've sinned, but I will sin no more.' Or, 'I don't know what evil I've done. Tell me if I've done wrong, I'll stop at once.' Must God tailor his justice for your demands? But you've rejected him. The choice is yours, not mine. Go ahead and share your wisdom with us. After all, bright people will tell me, the wise people will hear me say." Job speaks out of arrogance. His words lack insight. "Job, you deserve the maximum penalty for the wicked you've talked. For you've added rebellion to your sin, and you show no respect, and you speak many angry words against God." Chapter 35, Elihu reminds Job of God's justice. Then Elihu said, "Do you think it's right for you to claim I'm righteous before God? For you also ask what's in it for me. What's the use of living a righteous life? I'll answer you and all your friends too. Look up into the sky and see the clouds high above you. If you sin, how does that affect God? If you sin again and again, what effect will that have on him? If you are good, is this some great gift to him? What could you possibly give him? No, your sins affect only people like yourself, and your good deeds also affect only humans. People cry out when they're oppressed. They groan beneath the power of the mighty. Yet they don't ask, 'Where is God, my creator, the one who gives songs in the night? Where is the one who makes us smarter than the animals and wiser than the birds of the sky?' And when they cry out, God does not answer because of their pride. But is it wrong to say God doesn't listen and say the Almighty isn't concerned? You say you can't see him, but he'll bring justice if we only wait. You say he doesn't respond to sinners with anger and is not greatly concerned of wickedness, but you are talking nonsense, Job. You have spoken like a fool." Chapter 36. Let me go on and I'll show you the truth, for I've not finished defending God. I'll present profound arguments for the righteousness of my Creator. I'm telling you nothing but the truth, for I'm a man of great knowledge. God is mighty, but he does not despise anyone. He's mighty in both power and understanding. He does not let the wicked live, but gives justice to the afflicted. He never takes his eye off the innocent, but he sets them on thrones with kings and exalts them forever. If they are bound in chains and caught up in a web of trouble, he shows them the reason. He shows them their sins of pride. He gets their attention and commands that they turn from evil. If they listen and obey God, they will be blessed with prosperity throughout their lives. All their years will be pleasant, but if they refuse to listen to him, they'll cross over the river of death, dying from lack of understanding. For the godless are full of resentment. Even when he punishes them, they refuse to cry out to him for help. They die when they're young, after wasting their lives in immoral living. By the means of their suffering, he rescues those who suffer, for he gets their attention through adversity. God is leading you away from danger, Job, to a place free from distress. He's setting your table with the best food, but you're obsessed with whether the godless will be judged. Don't worry, judgment and justice will be upheld. But watch out, or you may be seduced by wealth. Don't let yourself be bribed into sin. Could all your wealth or all your mighty efforts keep you from distress? Do not long for the cover of night, for what is written when people will be destroyed. Be on guard, turn back from evil, for God has sent suffering to keep you from a life of evil. Look, God is all powerful. Who is a teacher like him? No one can tell him what to do or say to him, you've done wrong. Instead, glorify his mighty works, singing songs of praise. Everyone has seen these things, though only from a distance. Look, God is greater than we can understand. His years cannot be counted. He draws up the water vapor and then distills it into rain. The rain pours down from the clouds and everyone benefits. Who can understand the spreading of the clouds and the thunder that rolls forth from heaven? See how he spreads the lightning around him and he lights up the depths of the sea? By these mighty acts, he nourishes the people, giving them food in abundance. He fills his hands with lightning bolts and hurls each at its target. The thunder announces his presence. The storm announces his indignant anger. Chapter 37. My heart pounds as I think of this. It trembles within me. Listen carefully to the thunder of God's voice as it rolls from his mouth. It rolls across the heavens as his lightning flashes in every direction. Then comes roaring of the thunder at the tremendous voice of his majesty. He does not restrain it when he speaks. God's voice is glorious in the thunder. We can't even imagine the greatness of his power. He directs the snow to fall on earth and tells the rain to pour down. Then everyone stops working so they can watch his power. The wild animals take cover and stay inside their dens. The stormy wind comes from its chamber and the driving winds bring cold. God's breath sends ice and freezing wide expanse of water. He loads the clouds with moisture and they flash with his lightning. The clouds churn about at his direction. They do whatever he commands throughout the earth. He makes these things happen either to punish people or to show his unfailing love. Pay attention to this, Job. Stop and consider the wonderful miracles of God. Do you know how God controls a storm and causes lightning to flash from his clouds? You understand how he moves the clouds with wonderful perfection and skill? When we're sweltering in your clothes and the south wind dies down and everything is still, he makes the skies reflect heat like a bronze mirror. Can you do that? So teach the rest of us what to say to God. We're too ignorant to make our own arguments. Should God be notified when I want to speak? Can people even speak when they're confused? We cannot look at the sun, for it shines brightly in the sky when the wind clears away the clouds. So also, golden splendor comes from the mountain of God. He is clothed in dazzling splendor. We cannot imagine the power of the Almighty, but even though he's just and righteous, he does not destroy us. No wonder people everywhere fear him. All who are wise should show him reverence. All right, this is where it gets 38 chapters. His friends have spoke. This is where God speaks. Okay, so Job's like, God, you're not hearing me. What have I done wrong? Is it my sin? He's just all confused and his friend rebukes him. And then chapter 38, the Lord challenges Job. All right, here we go. A whirlwind shows up and speaks to Job. It's God. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Who is it that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man because I have some questions for you and you must answer them. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determines its dimensions and stretch out the surveying line? What supports its foundations and who laid its cornerstones? And as the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy, who kept the sea inside its boundaries as it burst from the womb? And as I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it in thick darkness, for I locked it behind barred gates and limiting its shores. I said, this is far and no farther will you come. Here you proud waves must stop. I mean, think about that. You ever been in the ocean? Trillions of gallons of water and the waves stop right there. Have you ever thought about like the waves stop right here? If they kept going, I would die. And who is it that tells the waves to stop? God. He draws the boundary lines and tells the proud waves stop. That's wild. Have you ever commanded the morning to appear and cause the dawn to rise in the east? So God commands the morning to show up. Have you ever made daylight spread to the ends of the earth to bring an end to the night's wickedness? As the light approaches, the earth takes shape like a clay pressed beneath a seal. It's robed in brilliant colors. The light disturbs the wicked, and it stops the arm that is raised in violence. Have you explored the springs from which the seas come? Have you explored their depths? Do you know where the gates of death are located? Have you seen the gates of utter gloom? Do you realize the extent of earth? Tell me about it if you know. Where does light come from, and where does darkness go? Can you take each to its home? Do you know how to get there? But of course you know all of this, for you were born before it was all created, and you're so very experienced. Some of you don't think God's sarcastic. He is. Have you visited the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of hail? I've reserved them as weapons for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war. Where's the path to the source of light? Where's the home of the east wind? Seriously powerful statements. Who created a channel for the torrent of rain? Who laid out the path for lightning? Who makes the rain fall on barren land in a desert where no one lives? Who sends the rain to satisfy the parched ground and make the tender grass spring up? Does the rain have a father? Who gives birth to the dew? Who's the mother of the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens? For the water turns to ice as hard as rock, and the surface of the water freezes. Can you direct the movement of the stars, binding the cluster of the Pleiades or loosening the cords of Orion? Can you direct the constellations through the seasons or guide the bear with her cubs across the heavens? Do you know the laws of the universe? Can you use them to regulate the earth? Can you shout to the clouds and make it rain? Can you make lightning appear and cause it to strike as you direct? Who gives intuition to the heart of instinct to the mind? Who's wise enough to count all the clouds? Who can tilt the water jars of heaven when the parched ground is dry and the soil is hardened into clods? Can you stalk prey for a lioness and satisfy the young lion's appetite as they lie in their dens or crouch in the thicket? Who provides food for the ravens as the young cry out to God and wander about in hunger? Chapter 39. Do you know when the wild goats give birth? Have you watched as the deer are born in the wild? Do you know how many months they carry their young? Are you aware of the time of their delivery? They crouch down to give birth to the young and deliver their offspring. They grow up in the open fields and leave home and never return. Who gives the wild donkey its freedom? Who untied its rope? I've placed it in the wilderness. Its home is the wasteland. It hates the noise of the city and has no driver to shout at it. The mountains are its pasture land where it searches for every blade of grass. Will the ox consent to getting tamed? Will it spend the night in your stall? Can you hitch a wild ox to a plow? Will it plow a field for you? Given its strength, can you trust it? Can you leave and trust the ox to do your work? Can you rely on it to bring home your grain and deliver it to your threshing floor? The ostrich flaps her wings grandly, but they're no match for the feathers of the stork. She lays her eggs on top of the earth, letting them be warmed in the dust. She doesn't worry about a foot might crush them or a wild animal might destroy them. She is harsh towards her young, as if they're not her own. She doesn't care if they die, for God has deprived her of wisdom. Think about that. God's talking about a bird here. The ostrich. And it says, God has deprived her of wisdom. He has given her no understanding. God is just so detailed. But whenever she jumps up to run, she passes the swiftest horse with its rider. Have you given the horse its strength or clothed its neck with a flower? In other words, God's saying, who are you to question me, Job? That's what God's saying here. Did you give it the ability to leap like a locust? Its majestic snoring is terrifying, snorting. It paws the earth and rejoices in its strength. When it charges out to battle, it laughs at fear and is unafraid. It does not run from the sword. The arrows rattle against it and the spear and javelin flash. It paws the ground fiercely and rushes forward into battle when the ram's horn blows. It snorts at the sound of the horn. It senses the battle in the distance. It quivers at the captain's command and the noise of battle. Is it your wisdom that makes the hawk soar and it spread its wings towards the south? Is it your command that the eagle rises in the heights to make it nest? It lives on the cliffs, making its home on a distant rocky crag. From there it hunts its prey, keeping watch with piercing eyes. Its young gulped down blood. Where there's a carcass, there you'll find it. Chapter 40, then the Lord said to Job, do you still want to argue with the Almighty? You are God's critic, but do you have the answers? Then Job replied to the Lord. All right, so the Lord just gave Job a royal smackdown. And now Job is going to reply to God after that royal smackdown of questioning Job. I am nothing. I mean, that's a good response. God does that to you. I am nothing. How could I ever find the answers? I will cover my mouth with my hand. I've said too much already. I have nothing more to say. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Brace yourself like a man because I have some questions for you that you must answer. Will you discredit my justice and condemn me to just prove you are right? Are you as strong as God? Can you thunder with a voice like his? All right, put on your glory and splendor and your honor and majesty. Give vent to your anger. Let it overflow against the proud. Humiliate the proud with a glance. Walk on the wicked where they stand. Bury them in the dust. Imprison them in the world of the dead. Then even I will praise you, for your own strength would save you. Take a look at Behemoth, which I made, just as I made you. It eats grass like an ox. See its powerful loins and the muscles of its belly? Its tail is as strong as a cedar. The sinews of its thighs are knit tightly together. Its bones are tubes of bronze. Its limbs are bars of iron. It's a prime example of God's handiwork, and only its creator can threaten it. The mountains offer it their best food, where all the wind animals play. It lies under the lotus plants, hidden by the reeds in the marsh. The lotus plants give it shade among the willows beside the stream. It is not disturbed by the raging river, not concerned when the swelling Jordan rushes around it. No one can catch it off guard or put a ring on its nose and lead it away. Chapter 41. Can you catch a leviathan with a hook or put a noose around its jaw? Can you tie it with a rope through the nose of Pierce, its jaw with a spike? I have a whole video on leviathan. Search the channel. Will it beg you for mercy or employ you for pity? Will it agree to work for you or be your slave for life? Can you make it a pet like a bird or give it your little girls to play with it? Will merchants try to buy it or sell it in their shops? Will it hide, be hurt by spears, its hide, its head by a harpoon? If you lay a hand on it, you'll certainly remember the battle that follows. You won't try that again. No, it's useless to try to capture it. The hunter who attempts it will be knocked down. And since no one dares to disturb it, who can stand up to me? Who has given me anything that I need to pay back? Everything under the heaven is mine. I want to emphasize Leviathan's limbs and its enormous strength and graceful form. Who can strip off its hide? Who can penetrate the double layer of armor? Who can pry open its jaws, for its teeth are terrible? The scales on its back are like rows of shields, tightly sealed together. They are so close together that no air gets between them. Each scale sticks right tight to the next. They interlock and cannot be penetrated. When it sneezes, it flashes light. Its eyes are like the red of dawn. Lightning leaps from its mouth. Flames of fire lash out. Smoke streams from its nostrils, like steam from a hot pot during burning rushes. Its breath would kindle coals, for flames shoot from its mouth. The tremendous strength in Leviathan's neck strikes terror wherever it goes. Its flesh is hard and firm and cannot be penetrated. Its heart is as hard as a rock, as hard as a millstone. When it rises, the mighty are afraid, gripped by terror. No sword can stop it. No spear, dart, or javelin. Iron is nothing but straw to that creature, and bronze is like rotten wood. Arrows cannot make it flee, and stones shot from a sling are like the bits of grass. Clubs are like a blade of grass, and it laughs at the swish of javelins. Its belly is covered with scales as sharp as glass. It plows the ground as it drags through the mud. Leviathan makes the water boil with its commotion. It stirs the depths like a pot of ointment. The water glistens in its wake, making the seas look white. Nothing on earth is its equal. No other creature so fearless. Of all creations, it's the proudest. It's the king of the beasts. All right, we are about to start Psalms, guys. We have one more chapter in Job tomorrow, and then we are starting the book of Psalms. Wow, okay, that's a long book. It's a huge book, all right? Tomorrow we'll do Job 42, another 30-minute day. Some of these days, I felt like the first 30 days were hour days. Most every day was an hour. Now we're getting to some 30-minute days, which I'm not mad about, okay? I'm going to be live in a couple hours again tonight with the podcast. I'll engage with you guys, hang out with the chat after the podcast tonight. I do got to get stuff ready and all of that, but I love you all tremendously. We just concluded, check it off your list, chat. Day 39. We're getting there, guys. We are getting there. Tomorrow is day 40. We are going to read 25 chapters in Psalms. For day number 40, we are getting close to the halfway mark. You're just taking it one day at a time, guys. We're getting there to the halfway mark soon. This feels like a huge accomplishment. I still can't believe we're this far, but here we are. Those of you that have been here since the beginning, thank you. I love you all. I don't have my links on screen, but the links to give are in the chat. The mods are probably posting them now. And then you can also give down below. Monthly partner with us helps us out a lot. Continue to do this. I love you all so much, and I'll see you guys tonight in a few hours. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.